We're in Genesis 45. It's when Joseph has seen that his brothers' hearts have changed. He saw this when the test he put them through, where they could have sold out their younger brother Benjamin, and instead they're pleading for his life and offering themselves instead. Joseph knew they had changed, so he breaks down, and we come to this in verse chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. Think of how long he had wrestled with. Since it's been probably several weeks or maybe even a month in this process of them coming and going back home and coming. And what he was wrestling with in himself, wanting to let them know who he was. And now he couldn't hold it back anymore. It comes flooding out. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me, all of his servants, all of attendants." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud. Can you imagine releasing such pent-up emotions? How long he had pent them up, and just finally to let go. I bet it was a wailing, just a heaving, just as he just released years of just this struggle that he had endured, and just as he began to see all that God was in it. And of course the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. So they heard it from, even though they weren't in the room. Then Joseph said to his brothers, and now he's talking directly to them. Remember, he's been talking through an interpreter. Now in their own language, he talks to them directly. "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Oh, because you know what they're thinking? Their mind goes immediately back to what they did. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother." And just in case you didn't know, I hadn't forgotten whom you sold in Egypt. You know, no, he just, I mean, this lets them know it's him. You know, I mean, there's only one person that knows about that story besides them, and that's Joseph. Now, but look at his compassion. "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." Look at this beautiful thing in the Lord. "Because you sold me here, but look, God sent me before you to preserve life." Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, Brother Rudy.
I think that Joseph is a type of Christ.
I think so.
Because just as Joseph was despised by his brothers, Jesus was despised.
That's right.
By his brothers also. They didn't believe in him.
And Joseph was the favorite of his father.
Yes. And then Joseph was sold for a few coins, and Jesus sold. Yeah. Joseph is saying here that he was sent to preserve life, and God sent his son not only to preserve life, but to offer eternal life.
That's right.
So he is a type of Christ.
Yes. And we see here just what we see in Jesus. God used the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Jewish leaders. He used their hatred of his son to offer him up as a sacrifice. They were the ones who betrayed Jesus, who arrested him, gave him to the Romans. Yeah. God can use the hands of men to do his wonderful work.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? For these, and Joseph begins to explain to them the situation that they are in. They don't know. He explains, "For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting." 5 years without crops? There's already been two. Can you imagine how devastating that is? But Joseph had been preparing for 7 years. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Wow. Yeah. What a beautiful statement. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Notice he didn't say, I have become. He said, he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. So let's look at this, the timeline. Joseph is 17 years old when he is sold, and he's presented to Pharaoh at 30 years. So that's 17 to 30 is 13 years. Then there's been 7 years of plenty. So 7 and 13 is 20 years. And that's 2 years into the famine now. So this is his dreams that God had given him about the role he was going to play. It took 22 years for them to come to pass. All right? That's a long time. That's a long time. But God, let's don't give up on God. Abraham waited almost 25 years before Isaac was born. David waited possibly 20 years from the time he was anointed by Samuel to the time he actually became king. So God's purposes often take many, many years to come to about. So now he gives his brothers instructions. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. So he probably knows his dad is not going to be want to come to. He's been nomads all their life. And I think we're going to see that the land of Goshen will allow that to be to continue. But he knows his dad's going to be hesitant to come down to Egypt. He's got to convince him. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. He's still talking to his brothers. You shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. And then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked to him. Wow. We love because he first loved us. His compassion and mercy set his brothers free. It just shows how mercy and compassion, what it does in a situation so powerful here. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart and go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. And now you are commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. And also don't be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. And then the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. And he gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father and for the journey. Okay, and now you know the brothers are on the way back home. And now they've got to kind of own up to something, don't they? They're going to stand before their father and they know what's going on. And how are they going to bring it? And notice in this story, you know, remember, they didn't tell their father an animal killed Joseph. Remember? They just said, we found his cloak. And Jacob is the one that said an animal killed him. So they don't actually have to say anything. They just have to play their cards carefully. And you're going to see, there's nothing in the scripture that says that they told their father everything. We'll see. You know, I wonder if he ever knew the whole story. We know it, but I wonder if Jacob ever knew really what happened. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, "See that you do not become troubled along the way." Troubled along the way, in some other version, it says, "See that you don't argue with each other along the way." In other words, don't start blaming each other, you know, when on your way home and you're thinking back and.
But not only that, also for the presents that he gave Benjamin.
Yeah, that's true. Know,
because Benjamin got a handful.
He sure did. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, "Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. In other words, he kind of went into emotional shock.
Yeah.
Just kind of a state of shock, you know. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, it says the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. What does that mean? Well, that means his spirit had been low. Or we have another word for that.
Sad
or depressed.
Yeah.
You know, a person can be in a state of depression a long time and still function. But function without joy, without peace. You can get so concerned or discouraged that you're just kind of making it by, but you're not really living. And this word for the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, this same word, anazoporese, is in the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. When Paul was writing to Timothy, by the book of 2 Timothy, Paul is having a lot of problems. Many people have abandoned Paul. Jews have come behind and corrupted some of the churches that he had founded. And he knows that Timothy may be being tested or tempted with discouragement. So in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul writes to Timothy, "Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands." And that word, "fan into flame," is this very same word. In other words, become encouraged, be revived again. And it's wonderful that, because some of us have some family members or son or daughter and maybe a brother or sister who are probably in this state of Jacob. Their spirit hasn't really been revived in a long time. They're just dull and they show hardly any signs of spiritual life. Well, let's don't give up on them, okay? Because God can bring you something about where their spirit can rekindle again. That should be our hope. So, chapter 46 of Genesis. So Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba. And he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. And notice, there's not a single mention of him having offered sacrifices for almost 22 years. But look what happens when his spirit is revived. Now, he takes his journey and he came to Beersheba. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
What happened at Beersheba? What's the first, do you remember what this name means? What does Beersheba mean? It means well of the oath or the well of seven. And what happened there at Beersheba? That's where Isaac, wasn't it Isaac? And the king made an oath to each other that they wouldn't quarrel. And so it became the well of the oath there. So this was, he stopped at a place his father had been precious to his father, and he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel. Now notice, isn't that interesting? Remember, he spoke to Israel because his name has been changed. But look how he spoke to him. He spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. I mean, only God would know what his original name was, right? If he had become Israel to many people, well, God knew. So he's addressing him back in the time. You know, God has, we wonder why. Why would God have addressed him back at that? You know, maybe it's a way of reminding him, remember when I met you when you were so needy and all that I have done in your life since then? It's a way to remind him, I'm not finished. I've got other things to do in your life.
It's a sense of humility that the Lord is bringing him under.
Yeah, I think so. Here am I. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. And I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. What does that mean? Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. You know when a person puts his hand on someone's eyes? When they die.
Yep.
Often a time when a person dies, the eyes are open.
Oh, you're right.
And they must be closed. So Joseph will be there at your death. You'll see him. He will personally be with you when you die. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And so they took their livestock and their goods which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and went to Egypt, and Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. So who all's going? Let's look and see. Who all's going? So here's the family by numbers. And I've just summarized this part of the chapter. It actually mentions each one by name. But I'm just going to summarize it for you. Of those born to Leah, Of those born to Leah, there were 33. You know, including her sons and then their wives and their children. There were 33. Of those born to Rachel, which would have just been Joseph and Benjamin, or Benjamin's descendants primarily here, 14. Zilpah, the maid of Leah. No, I think Zilpah was Rachel's maid. But 16 from her, and 7 from Bilhah. So all the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons. In all. Now you add to that 66 persons, Joseph, his two sons, and Jacob himself, and you get 70 people in all go to Egypt. And then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen, because that's where they were going to settle. So Judah went to find out where Goshen is. And they came to the land of Goshen. And so Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have.' So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' that you shall say, 'Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" They looked at as low life. Well, because it's the opposite of their high and mighty civilization. You know, Egypt was one of the great civilizations, and a nomad is just a simple life. You just live on the land, and you follow the flock. You move. You don't build permanent houses because when the livestock overgrazes an area, you need to move on. And that kind of lifestyle was just frowned upon by the Egyptians. Remember, they were a civilization. They had irrigation. They cultivated. They had crops, and so they had homes and everything. And they did that. It was their view. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. So Joseph chose 5 of his brothers, took him with him for this special meeting. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" Joseph knew his boss very well, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he got them ready for this. He knew Pharaoh. And he said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and your brothers dwell in the best of the land, and let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." All right. So, of course, they were living up in this area where the famine, this is the land of Canaan right here. They were living in the lower part of the land of Canaan. Beersheba is down in here. So on the way down, they stopped and made sacrifice. They came. They met Pharaoh. And you see where the land of Goshen is? This is the delta area of the Nile in the cities along the delta where they would irrigate. But this over here, which would be the eastern portion of the Nile delta, was rich pasture land and more undeveloped. And so it was also the closest to the land of Canaan. So this is the area that they settled right here. 70 people in all. And then that pretty well completes the book of Genesis. Wow. How long is it doing? When did we start this? Quite a while back, didn't we? And do you know what's next?
Mm-hmm.